recent YouGov survey found that 60% of the public believes that foreign migrants are not integrating well into British society. I'm sure this survey was not commissioned by the Daily Mail or such newspaper. No, it was a legitimate survey. There has been increasing concern in the UK that despite rising numbers of migrants, the government has not been helping ethnic minorities to fit in very well into life in the UK. The government has actually come up with all sorts of tests to ensure that those who want to come to the UK or renew their stay in the UK or even become naturalized should integrate. So if you are applying to come to the UK or even asking your spouse to apply to come to the UK, as a pastor friend recently asked his wife to come over to the UK from Ukraine, she had to fill in all these sorts of forms, and she even had to take a test to prove that she can speak English. And of course she passed, and she's here now, and everyone is very happy. We were praying as she passes, and she did. And the government let her in from Ukraine. If you want to remain permanently in the UK or become a British citizen, you have to show sufficient knowledge of British life by taking something we call Life in the UK test, a series of questions that are asked to show that, yes, you know what happened at the Battle of Hastings. Now, but it seems, according to the survey by YouGov, that despite all of these tests that the government has come up with, people are still not being socially integrated. Those who actually come into UK life and pass all these tests often simply withdraw to live in their communities. They may physically live in the UK, they may have British passports, they may have indefinite leave to remain, but they do not appear to live in the UK fully. In practice, physically they belong to the UK, but their way of life is withdrawn from full social life. Now we are currently going through the first letter of John. And you know, John wrote this letter to encourage new believers who had changed their spiritual address. They had spiritually migrated from living for the world and under Satan's control to become new citizens of Jesus Christ. But soon after becoming followers of Jesus, they had faced new pressures to live a double life. On the one hand, they publicly claimed to be followers of Jesus. They would have even said, "We have the passport here. We have a spiritual passport. We are followers of Jesus." And yet they were facing pressures to live for themselves. They had faced pressure not to be spiritually integrated into Jesus. Last week we saw that false teachers, if you back up a little bit in chapter 2, those who were here last week, we looked at the issue of the Antichrist coming into the world, and that he had raised up false teachers and that his spirit was spreading. You see, these false teachers had crept in among these new believers. They had been urging them to forget about Jesus. He says, "Live as you used to. Don't worry about this Jesus guy. Just do your own thing." And John is writing this letter to remind all of us, actually, that being a follower of Jesus has a radical consequence. It has radical consequences. It is not simply saying the sinner's prayer and then you retreat back to your old way of life. No, followers of Jesus must now live fully in Jesus, because it is who we are. And this is actually the big message of John's letter. As we go through it, we've been seeing this already. And I just want us to examine this truth particularly looking at verse 28 to verse 29. Now, the two challenges John presents for us here about living in Jesus. The first thing that John says to us, particularly in verse 28, is that followers of Jesus must live in Jesus. Followers of Jesus must live in Jesus. Notice John starts in verse 28. Let's read that. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. John starts off with a very clear and urgent command to our followers of Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Abide in him. The word abide means remain or stay. John is saying, make your home in Jesus. Don't abandon life in Jesus and run off somewhere. You are married to Jesus now. Stay in him. Live in him now. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. The command sounds strange, doesn't it? It is strange because John has already said to our followers of Jesus that we are what? We have life with him. Chapter 1, you know, we have fellowship with God. He says that in chapter 1, verse 3. And notice chapter 3, just back up a little bit, already tells us that we are God's children. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. So John is not talking about us becoming Christians here when he says, live in him or abide in him. No, John is saying that because we have life with Jesus, we must now live practically in Jesus by surrendering to Jesus. You see, John probably had children. And John knows, like every parent, that it is possible for a child in a family, be in a family, and yet live like he's not a member of that family. And if you doubt that, just wait until Christmas time. Isn't it? At Christmas time is when we realize that not everyone who's in our family actually behaves like a member of the family. And that's why we have so many challenges over Christmas, and families are constantly at war during Christmas time. Because all of a sudden, for those 3 days, they are confronted with each other in a confined space. Being in a family does not always lead people to behave as if they are members of the family. So John, as a parent, knows this, so he encourages these little children. He says, he calls them little children because they're children of God now. He encourages us and says, we must become who we already are in Jesus. He says, look, you are already in Jesus. So continually give up any temptation to carve out a little Brexit of your life. Give up this temptation to declare independence while you are still in Jesus. He says, look, we must be like baby Ezra with his mom. Baby Ezra depends on Sister Liz for everything. He comes to her for milk, for the funny faces, to be carried around. He has complete dependency on Brother Peter and Sister Liz. And John is saying the same way little children ask. We must live in God and surrender our lives to him. All followers of Jesus must constantly look to Jesus to sustain us, to nurture us, to provide all what we need for a life pleasing to God. Here's what Apostle Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. Listen to what he says. He says, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so continue to live in him. Continue to live in him. And an important part of us living in Jesus is totally surrendering our will, our entire being, our entire aspiration, our entire desires, our entire emotion. Make that determination to live for him. You see, John here is not saying surrender one part of your life to Jesus. No, he says your entire being must now live in him. Don't create a spiritual ghetto while living in the kingdom of God. Don't carve out your own way of life while you are in Christ. No, he says, all of you must totally surrender to God. You must put up a white flag of surrender to Jesus. You must say to Jesus, Lord, even before you ask the question to me, the answer to you is yes. Whatever you need, anywhere, anytime, my answer is yes. Now, Lord, what is the question? Have you surrendered to Jesus like that? Have you come to Jesus and said, anywhere, anytime, my answer is yes. Now, Lord, what is the question? You see, many of us are not willing to surrender to Jesus like that. We know that Jesus wants us to surrender and live in Him. But we do not want it to be like that. And if we are honest, it frightens us. We like following Jesus on our own terms. And the idea of total, absolute surrender, as Andrew Murray calls it, frightens us. We are frightened that if we totally surrender to Jesus, He may ask us to sacrifice a lot. We are afraid that perhaps if we came to Jesus and said, anywhere, anytime, Jesus may ask us to surrender our bank accounts to Him. And that worries us because we feel it may rob us of a secure financial future. What if Jesus asks you to give up your savings? We are afraid of that kind of surrender. You are afraid that surrendering to Jesus, even though you can cope with it, your family might not. The sacrifice, total surrender to Jesus, may be too great for them to bear. And so you're not willing to say anywhere, anytime. Now, Lord, what is the question? You are afraid that surrender, total surrender to Jesus may cost you your dreams. You know, if you have read the scripture, what total surrender looks like. It takes a man like Moses from the palace and leads them into the desert for 40 years. You know that total surrender takes Abraham from a land he knew and leads him into a land, to a place with no plan. You know that total surrender asks Abraham to sacrifice his son. You know that total surrender is what led the three friends of Daniel to walk in the furnace. You know that total surrender led Daniel himself in the lion's den. You are afraid because you know total surrender led Peter from being a fisherman to die upside down on the cross. You know total surrender led Paul, who had such a, all his life as a Pharisee, had such a lot going for him, and whipped, lashed. It frightens us to tell the Lord anywhere, anytime. Now what's the question? But John says there's no other way to live in Jesus apart from absolute surrender. Because living in Jesus is who we are. Look at verse 29. If you know that He is righteousness, is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. John is saying followers of Jesus are born of God. And therefore living for Him, living in Him, is who we are. They are born of Him because we have experienced a new birth. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called what? Children of God, and so we are. John is saying, look, surrendering to Jesus is our new normal now. We are living as we are called to live if we are living in total surrender. Just as the normal way of living is for any person who's come to the UK to be integrated socially in life in the UK. That's what we all seem to be saying from the survey. We desire to see more of. John says, similarly, spiritually, you are living normal in Christ when you are fully integrated, fully surrendering to Him. So there is no way to live in Jesus and to come honestly to Him and say, Lord, even before you ask the question, the answer to you is yes. Whatever you need, anywhere, anytime, my answer is yes. Now, Lord, what is the question? So are you living a life that is totally surrendered to Jesus' life? Remember, He is asking followers of Jesus that question. Are you living that life? Will you today totally surrender your life, your will and everything to Him? Yes, you've repented, but will you now live in Him? Maybe you are not a follower of Jesus and you are a bit skeptical about all of this. Why does it matter anyway that we live for Jesus anyway? Jesus is long gone, you might say. This is 2016. Does it really matter that we should surrender to Him? Well, John says it matters because why? Because Jesus is coming again. And this is John's second challenge. The first challenge is that followers of Jesus must live in Him. Now John gives us a second challenge. We must live in Jesus because Jesus is coming. We must live in Him because Jesus is coming. Look at verse 28 again in front of you. And now, little children, abide in Him. Why? So that when He appears, we may have confidence and no shrink from Him in shame at His coming. The government last week, I don't know if you missed this piece of important news, ratified the world's first comprehensive agreement on tackling climate change. It's called the Paris Agreement. The Minister for Climate Change in the UK, Theresa May government, is a bit skeptical, but they have got of climate change, but they have got a government minister responsible. His name is Nick Head. He said the UK is ratifying the Paris Agreement so that we can deliver on our commitment to create a safer, more prosperous future for all of us. He says climate change is an impending real disaster. So we must act now and do our bit. The environments tell us that time is short. And maybe sitting here this morning, you may not agree with them. But what is clear is that our view of the future affects how we act today. On any issue, your view of the future determines how you live today. And this is exactly what John is trying to communicate here. He says there is an event worse than climate change. There is an event that is imminent, that has earth-shattering consequences, that will rearrange the very order of the world. And he says that event demands your action. And what is this event? Jesus is coming. He says there in verse 28, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and no shrink from Him in shame. Notice, it is not if Jesus comes, but it is when Jesus comes. The Bible teaches that this Jesus who first came as a baby that Christmas in a manger, will appear for a second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says this Jesus, who first came that Christmas morning, signaled by a star in the east, will come the second time as the bright and morning star. And notice in verse 28 there an important word. He says, verse 28, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and no shrink in shame at his what? At his coming. I don't want you to miss this. The word for coming there is parousia in the original language. And it was used to refer to the arrival of a king, of a ruler in pomp, in splendor, in glamour. And John is telling us, and he will tell us later in Revelation, that this Jesus who first came to Jerusalem, that first sister, that riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, who come now riding a white horse and establish his kingdom. Look, we don't know when Jesus will appear. It may be today, by the time we finish this service. It may be this evening, it may be tomorrow. It may be later on before Christmas. We are not on the planning committee. We are on the reception committee. So John said, we don't know when Jesus will appear. Therefore, we should continually live in Jesus with absolute surrender, so that we are sure we genuinely belong to him. Look at verse 28 again. What? So that we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Have you ever had an unexpected visitor? One day you're just at home in the morning and all of a sudden somebody knocks on the door of your house. You are just getting up to get dressed in your dressing gown, and after a very long, long night of television watching, and you're a bit tired, you have not brushed your teeth, your Christmas gown has not been washed for, it has not been in the washing machine for a couple of weeks, perhaps the house is totally chaotic, and then you open the door, and it is your friend from work. Or perhaps a long-lost friend, and all of a sudden, you know you are not as clean as you look at work. You know your house is not as wonderful as it looks on Instagram. You're worried now. You're looking at that and you feel totally embarrassed. Now imagine if your visitor friend is actually called Queen Elizabeth II. And she's your friend, and she arrives in all her pomp and majesty and splendor, and yes, with TV cameras. How would you feel? Well, like a national embarrassment for you. You are meant to be ready, and all of a sudden, you're looking ragged and prepared. Well, John says someone more infinitely important than the queen will appear any moment. He says, Jesus is coming, and not everyone will be found ready to meet him. Look at verse 28. Some who meet Jesus will have confidence when he comes. Boldness. Even joy at his coming. And some, when they see Jesus on that day, will hide away in shame from him. At how messy their lives look now before him. Who are these people hiding in shame? Are these believers? Well, not. The immediate context is very, very clear. You see, last week we talked about the Antichrist. Those who had penetrated the church. Those who belong to the church but do not genuinely belong to him. They have heard the gospel every day. Boring. That's not that they're active in the gospel. They have not genuinely, their heart is not fired up for the gospel. They have heard Jesus, but they have rejected him in their hearts. They have heard countless sermons. Their relatives have shared Jesus with them, and yet you continue to refuse to accept Jesus. They have not surrendered to Him. And the wider context of John also tells us about another group. Those who publicly claim to love Jesus. They say, yes, I am for Jesus. But yet, they do not want to surrender their life to Jesus. These people too, just like the Antichrist, are not true followers of Jesus. They may have said the sinner's prayer at some point in their lives, but they have not surrendered to Him. John says, whatever camp you are in, if you have not turned to Jesus genuinely, if you have not genuinely repented, it will be a very shameful day when Jesus appears. You see, John knew the words of Jesus from Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Here's what the Lord says, not all those who say you are our Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. The only people who enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do what the Father in heaven wants, those who have genuinely surrendered their lives to Him. Jesus went on to say, on the last day, many who said to me, Lord, Lord, we spoke for you, through you, we forced out demons and did many miracles. Then I'll tell them clearly, get away from me, you do evil. I never knew you. Maybe you are not a follower of Jesus this morning. You hear about the coming of Jesus and your attitude is like the people I was watching recently on a show in Netflix called 72 Most Dangerous Places in the World. And one of the places they show which is a most dangerous place to live in is in California. Did you know? California is the most dangerous place, one of the most dangerous places to live in the world because it is under a geological fault line called San Andreas. And it happened in the past. And it would definitely happen, I find, in California soon. Any moment could happen. The very foundation of California, of which over a million people live, will be ripped apart. And the entire city, when it happens, will be completely swallowed up. And you know, they went around asking these people, you know about this, you know it happened, I think, in 1900 sometime, when a third of it is major catastrophe, because there are more people living there now. What? Why are you still here? And they were like, well, if it happens, it happens. I've lived here for 15 years, and one of them said, and you know, it's never happened, so I don't need worrying about that. But friends, look, you can say that about San Andreas, and it will happen. All the scientists are in agreement on it. One day, a million people there may be literally swallowed up. There's something far terrible, far serious. The Son of God will appear any moment. And His coming is not for debate. And even if Jesus does not come in your lifetime, you still have an important decision to make this morning. Because you see, your end could come any moment. If you died tomorrow, you'll be separated from God in hell forever. Friends, hell was not created for you. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. So God does not want you to face shame there, pain there, suffering there. He wants you to recognize you are a sinner and that Jesus has come to die for you. He wants you to place your trust, your confidence in God. And God will forgive your sins. You will be born of Him if you repent. Will you do that this morning? Will you come to Jesus and live in Him if you haven't repented? Or maybe you have already professed faith, as we like to say. I have professed faith in Jesus, you might say. Well, John is saying, be careful. You can only be confident on that day if your life has some evidence of absolute surrender. There must be some evidence of absolute surrender. There must be some evidence of that word, Lord, even before you ask a question. The answer to you is yes. Whatever you need, anytime, anywhere, my answer is yes. You must have some evidence of that radical attitude to live for Him. Verse 29 tells us, if you know, by the way, if is not a conditional, is actually to be read as, since you know that Jesus is righteous, you may be sure. You may be sure. Don't even think it's up for debate. You can be absolutely sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. John is saying, look, those who belong to Jesus are every day becoming more like Jesus. They are every day bound up with a passion to love Him, bound up with a passion to serve Him, bound up with a passion to share Him to the world. They are growing in absolute surrender. They have left everything behind to follow Him and Him alone. They are becoming like Jesus. Look at 1 John 2, verse 5 to 6. Says this, verse 6 says this, whoever says he lives in Him ought to walk in the same way in which we walk. And what is the way of Christ? It is the way of the cross. It is the way of Golgotha. It is the way of emptying yourself, total surrender to Him. Look, surrendering to Jesus and becoming like Him does not save you. We are saved by grace and grace alone. It is not by works that we have been saved, it is by grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. But John says if you are genuinely saved, there must be growing evidence of absolute surrender to God. And if you have that, you have every reason to be confident. And if you don't have that genuine, absolute surrender, there's no passion to surrender, then repent now, says John. Because the only way you can be confident on that day, that you belong to Jesus, have that boldness, that confidence, that fearlessness, the only way you can look forward to 1 John 3 verse 2. Do you see what it says there? 1 John 3 verse 2. It says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. The only way you know your body will be instantly be turned to be like Jesus is if you have absolute surrender. The only way you can be confident of that. You are growing in absolute surrender. So James said to all of us who are professing faith in Jesus this morning, don't live in doubt. Don't leave it for debate. Don't be too comfortable. Examine your life. Examine your life seriously. And surrender to Him. Say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, even before you ask the question, the answer to you is yes. Whatever you need, anywhere, anytime, anything, my answer is yes. Now, Lord, what is the question? Amen.